Today we conclude the series on spiritual warfare. We conclude it by looking at the last element of the armor of God, which is prayer. But we're really not concluding the series because, see, this was a preparatory series for what comes next. And next Sunday, Phil will introduce us to the next series that we'll be looking at, and that are the seven churches in the book of Revelation. What can we learn from those seven churches that impact us right now, right where we are? What were they facing, and what are we facing? What did Jesus have to say to them, and what does Jesus have to say to us? And so you see, this is really a continuation and a transition. We'll celebrate communion at the end of the message as a way of recommitting to the battles in which we engage and strengthening us for the days ahead, that we may be prepared, that we may be alert, and that we may stand strong in our faith. So, I'd like to begin today by reminding you of something very, very important, reminding each one of us. Prayer is our most powerful weapon as we engage in spiritual warfare. Never underestimate the power of prayer. For in the power of prayer, we begin to face whatever we face by putting our trust in God and not in humanity. People will always disappoint us. We will disappoint ourselves. But God does not disappoint. God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and God watches over us and leads us as we engage in the chaos and the challenges that we find ourselves in day to day. Now, the first scripture that I'd like to share with you, and you can, if you'll be turning to this, is one that you know quite well. But it's 2 Chronicles 2, chapter 7, verse 14. This is a very, very powerful, powerful verse. And one that we have looked at before. But it's one that helps keep us grounded and lets us know why prayer is so important. You see, we have access to God 24/7. We're not going to get a busy signal with God. You know, when you call today, we sometimes get so frustrated. I just like to speak to a person. Will somebody pick up? And I'd like to speak to a person. God's not like that. He doesn't put us on hold. Now, he may not answer as soon as we would like for him to answer, but we're not on hold. He heard us. That we can be assured. But we have this relationship with God. And we have this opportunity that we can talk with him anytime of the day or night. We know those challenging days and we know those sleepless nights. We know them both. So listen to these words in the 14th verse of chapter 7. And my people who bear my name humble themselves, pray and seek my face, and turn from their evil ways. Then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. That's a promise. That's a biblical promise. That's not something that may or may not take place. That's a promise. It's a conditional one, though, but it is a promise. Because the condition is pray. Pray. Come before God. Humble ourselves. You know, when we're proud, we think we can do about anything we want to, right? We're unstoppable. I'm on a roll. God has a way of humbling us, doesn't he? I certainly know that. I have, sometimes you think you got this thing under control. No, you don't. God lets you know real quick who's in charge. Humble yourself and pray. Seek God's face. Do we seek God's face when we pray? That's an interesting point, isn't it? Looking into God's eyes. Do we seek God's face when we pray? God enables us and empowers us so that we can turn from our evil ways. To turn. In the Greek, you have the word metanoia, which means repent. Or when you're riding on the highway and you see a U-turn, that's what it is. Do a U-turn. Turn. Then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin. Forgiveness is there. God promises forgiveness, and he promises healing of the land. But we have to keep our eyes on him and not something else. You see, prayer brings us into God's presence. We ask for God's discernment and for his understanding. God hears us. He answers us. Lord, heal us. Bring revival and a great awakening to our land. We need it. To our world. That light which shines in the darkness. We can be that light. We are that light. Here's what I know. Jesus promised to come again. Churches have forgotten about the second coming. You don't hear that preached very often. We're committed to this. And I'm challenging you from now and on into next year to know what the scriptures say about Christ's return. What's involved with it? We may see it, we may not, but we know that when we die, we will see him what? Face to face. That we know. We also know that before he comes, two things. There will be people who will fall away. Are people falling away from Christianity? Yes, they are. That's real. It's happening. It's growing in some places, but it's declining in others. A period of falling away. The term you may have heard before, apostasy. That's a real concept. It's not just a made-up term. A falling away. But we're also told that there will be a revival of believers and an awakening that will come. And we are those agents of light, of truth, and of sharing the gospel. So we don't want to fall away. We want to stand up and to proclaim and to be part of that revival which the world so desperately needs. That's why we've been talking about spiritual warfare. Chaos, confusion, evil, they all exist. They're real. Now, we can combat evil and evil's unrelenting presence by praying in the Spirit at all times. Now, I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. Although speaking in tongues is a phenomenon that does exist, and people do speak in tongues. But remember what Paul said about that. If someone's speaking in tongues, there's also supposed to be someone who can what? Interpret. Exactly. Interpret it. Speaking and praying in the Spirit is asking for the power of God to come into your life. And to align your will with God's will. That's praying in the Spirit. Allowing God to infuse you, to fill you. When Jesus left, he said, you will soon be baptized with the coming of the what? Holy Spirit. It's not just the Pentecostals that talk about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is real. The Holy Spirit is our counselor and our guide. Do we take time to pray? Do we have a prayer room? I'm not saying you have to have the prayer room, but do we have a, that's a good discipline to have. Do we pray daily? Do you have a place that's special to you for prayer? Prayer makes all the difference. Prayer is not an afterthought. Prayer is engagement. Asking God to enable you to be the instrument that he would have you to be. We have impact on people, both good and bad. We impact people daily. May we impact them in a way that brings them closer to Jesus and knowing who Jesus is rather than further away. You know, prayer was important to Jesus. Let me give you three prayers that were particularly important. Jesus took the time to give us the Lord's Prayer. It's that prayer that reminds us that we have enough for every day. We have enough. Our basic needs are met. And we know that the Lord will take care of us on earth as it is what? In heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. And then you've got this prayer in John 17. And I've mentioned this before, but if you've not read John 17 recently, John chapter 17, read it. It's generally known as the high priestly prayer. In that prayer, Jesus is praying for himself, for what he knows is coming, which is the suffering, the cross, the crucifixion, the death, and the resurrection. And then he shifts the prayer to his disciples. Why? Because they're carrying on the ministry. And guess what? We're also what? Disciples. And we're carrying on the ministry as well. And then he turns and prays for all believers. All believers throughout the world. And we need to be praying for all believers throughout the world, whether they be in the United States, whether they be in Brazil, whether they be in Nigeria, whether they be in North Korea, whether they be in China, Russia, or Afghanistan. Are we praying for all believers throughout the world? That God will strengthen them. Because persecution is real. People die for their faith. Churches get burned and destroyed. People get incarcerated for their faith. May we continue to remember that. And so let me ask you if you would. Paul underscores the importance of prayer in this very last verse in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, that very last verse of this passage. Notice what he's saying. Pray at all times. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request. In the Spirit, God's will. God, empower me with your grace and your mercy and your blessing, that I may be that beacon of light that you would have me be. Pray. And then stay alert with all perseverance. And think about the Boy Scouts. Be prepared. Be prepared. Always be prepared. Stay alert. Stay alert. Keep your eyes open. It's going to be important as we go forward that we know what is of God and what is not of God. And see, that's the challenge with preaching. Lord, am I preaching your word and not my word? Lord, am I preaching your word? Know that discernment between what God says and what God's not saying. We need to know the difference. It's important. Stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints, all the persons throughout the world who are encountering persecution and suffering, because we are one body of believers. And this is what we are praying, just as Jesus prayed for all believers. So, to defeat Satan, Phil reminded us something last week that's very important. Two things. Quote scripture and what? Prayer. With the experience that he shared with you. Prayer and scripture. Prayer and scripture. Prayer and scripture. May that be so ingrained in us that that's our automatic default response. We don't even have to think about it. When we're encountering things that we know that are not right, may we instinctively pray. And may the Lord bring scriptures to our mind to help us combat evil. See, Satan knows scripture. Scripture is powerful. It makes a difference. May we pray for each other. And may we pray for all believers, and that God will soften the hearts of those who do not believe, that they can hear the message. Even if they reject it, at least be able to really hear it. Help us to pray through and never give up. When I think about praying through and never giving up, I have to admit that I think about Jim Valvano real often. And you can remember that last speech he had. Never, ever, never, ever give up. Ever. May we pray through everything. See it through. Trust God enough to see it to completion. You see, Jesus went through Gethsemane in that period. God, help me to go through this. And then one of Jesus' last statements was what? It is finished to completion. See it through to the end. May we be specific in our prayers and not general. And may our prayers not be an afterthought. Targeted prayers. Specific prayers. Really being honest with God and not holding anything back. Laying it out on the table. You see, we are to pray for all things, all occasions, in times of prosperity and also in times of adversity. But may we be persistent and not doubt. It's the doubts that tank us. It's the doubts that defeat us. We don't want to doubt. We may have questions, and God welcomes our questions. He hears us. He listens. But he will give us the discernment and the answers that we are looking for. It just may not be immediate, but we don't give up. So that brings me to this important point as we conclude this series. May we pray for each other as we engage in the evil that exists within this world, and as we strive to live a Christ-like life and further the kingdom of God. Now you ask, well, why are you wanting to get all that? Let me share with you a few statistics that as we enter into this time where we go into the Lord's Supper, let me share these statistics with you. To kind of be a sobering fact. These statistics that I'm sharing you come from the Barna Research Group, which is a Christian research group that looks at various aspects of Christianity. It's kind of like the Christian version of the Gallup poll, if you wanted to put something to compare it to. The biblical, what we call the biblical worldview, is quickly eroding in the United States. Think of these six truths. As Christians, we believe that God represents absolute truth. That's what we believe. That the Bible is reliable. That it's accurate. That Satan is real and not just a symbol. It's not like the Underwood Devil Ham. You remember that? Real. We don't enter heaven by being a good person. We don't work our way in. Jesus really came to earth and he was sinless. You know that's being challenged today. The sinful part. And God is all-knowing and all-powerful and rules the universe. Now, if that sounds familiar to you and that really helps understand this is what the Bible is about, you're in the vast minority. According to Barna, in 2017, this is among practicing Christians in the United States, only 17% of practicing Christians believe what I just told you. 17%. That's a sobering admission. Here's another one. In 2019, Barna did another poll. 47% of millennials. Now, if you're not sure what a millennial is, 30-somethings and 40-somethings. 47% of millennials who are practicing Christians believe that evangelism is morally wrong. You're invading on people's privacy if you try to share the gospel. That's what we're up against. 47%. Here's what I thought. Satan must be dancing at that one. Because the path's wide open, because the world is not going to be unashamed to let you know exactly what the secular world believes. They're the they have embraced evangelism, they just won't call it that. But the secularists, the humanists, are among the biggest evangelists of all. And then this is the last one. 2017, Barna again. The Great Commission, remember we talked about that. Share the good news, baptize, and mentor. 51% of regular church attenders have never heard of the Great Commission. It's not preached. It's not talked about. 51%. And another 25% have heard it, but they don't remember what it is. So 3 out of 4 people, is our work cut out for us? I think so. I think so. So here's the deal. We can be that light. As we get ready to leave today, we're going to share in the Lord's Supper. And so I'm going to ask you, if you would, to take your cup. And I'm going to give you a minute to go ahead and try to get the little top off to be able to get the wafer out. Remember, 2 times ago, I've already done open mine up because I'm not going to go through this thing again and not being able to open this thing. There was some great humor in that, but it kind of reminds us the way the world is sometimes. But may we commit ourselves to sharing the gospel until Jesus returns. May we commit ourselves to stand up boldly and rely on and put on the armor of God as we stand up for Jesus. and become the light that this world so desperately needs. And so Paul reminds us of a tradition that he had received in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. He shares this tradition that he had received, and it involves the Lord's Last Supper. And so he said, this is something that we do as Christians when we meet. We share in that supper, which unite us and bind us. So may it unite us to fight the spiritual battles and to share the gospel. And so on that night, Jesus took the bread. He gave thanks for it and broke it. Here again, I love it. I love it when this happens. Don't anybody get. I love it because God has a way of interrupting and letting you know when something's important. That timing is perfect. Breaking of the bread, in case you weren't thinking about it, it was broken for you. Now you got something to remember it by. See, I love those things. I do. They're not coincidental. They are not. Jesus took the bread and he broke it. He gave thanks for it. He said, this is my body broken for you. Take, eat, in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup. And you know, I know this is a little different, but you know, we're in a times that require things that are different. So I'm glad somebody thought about doing this, because we can continue to share the Lord's Supper. And he took the cup and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. You see, our sins have been forgiven. We have been given eternal life. And Jesus went on to say, as often as we do this, remember what I have done. Forgiveness of sin, eternal life. And do this until I return. So are we ready? Are we ready to engage in the daily spiritual warfare that we will encounter? Are we ready to share the gospel, to baptize new believers, and to mentor, to take the time to pour into someone else's life? You see, we have that invitation. And so today I want to issue another invitation. And our hymn, our closing hymn today will be 429, Sweet Hour of Prayer. We'll sing the first and the last verse. But I want to take the time, whether you're here or whether you are listening remotely, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, accept him. Be willing to accept him. You can accept him right on the spot. Accept him as your Lord and Savior and get engaged in a local church. We'd love to have you here. If you know that you need to better serve him, that you aren't as Christ-like as you know you want to be and need to be, recommit. Recommit your life to him. If you want to be a part of this body of believers, we welcome you at all times. And so our hymn of invitation this morning is hymn number 423, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Perfect. I'm at 429. Thank you. I'm looking right at it, and I still can't remember. And so I don't know what good it does me to look at it. But thank you very much. 429, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Well, we have some great news today. The Kyles are wanting to join us by transfer of letter from Hope Valley Baptist Church. We've enjoyed your being with us all these years, and we are so thankful that you want to be a part of the ministry with us. And so we welcome you into the fellowship of Berea Baptist Church. Now, do we need to vote on this, or how are we going to proceed?
I think we normally do.
Okay. I don't think there's an issue. But for the record, I want to dot the I's and cross the T's. And so, okay, it has been moved. It is second. All in favor, say. And I will symbolically give you both hands, the welcome in the hands of faith. Please be sure to welcome both Gary and Mary as they are leaving. Let them know how glad that we are to have them as a part of our body of believers. And as we... Well, you know, there's one thing I know about the Bible. A day is like 1,000 years. So at least it didn't take 1,000 years. So we're good. We're good. But we're glad you're here. So as we leave today and as we depart, we rejoice in the adding of Gary and Mary to Berea Baptist Church. And as we go out to face our spiritual battles and to proclaim the good news, may we take comfort in these words from Jude, verses 20 and 21. But you, dear friends, as you build yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, there it is again, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting expectantly for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life. And all God's people said,